Father, I just pray that the things I'm going to say will be what you want to say. And Father, that we'll do, and including me, Father, as I speak them, Lord. Father, I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
My heading is, it's all about love. It's all about love. And the reason why I'm doing it, it's partly because it's part of the sermon that I did at my daughter's wedding. And, you know, if you're going to do a wedding, I mean, hey, love is a good thing to cover. But also, it's about when we were at a conference a couple of weeks ago now. We've always emphasized love. We always emphasize the God of love. You come here, you see the God of love. But a friend of mine, as he was preaching at the conference, he needed to try and give you another side of God as well. And he was quite strong about the church is getting flabby and missing out on the nature of God, that everybody is pushing about God of love, but actually you don't see the other side of God as well, the God of judgment, you know, the God who is, we tend to make God in our image, was his argument. And, and these are the sort of notes that I had. Grace is not soft on sin, which is true. Hyper-grace, we don't go into hyper-grace, he says. And that this whole idea of everyone is saved teaching. And he was trying to correct a thing which has affected the church. I'm not going to do that today, because I'm going to hold on to that facet that God is love. And it's the emphasis of which we are going to strongly point out, always. Because you see, it is the very nature of God. That God is love. That he is love. There is another side to God. You know, it says in the scriptures that, you know, it's an awful thing to fall into a wrathful God. And that's true. All of those things are true. And grace doesn't give us, grace covers whole, and love, God's love covers a whole load of stuff in our lives. But it doesn't mean we can do whatever we want, that we can live whatever we want and God will be fine with it. Because he won't. But he still loves us. And the very nature and the very emphasis that God wants through the whole of scripture is about his love and for his love for his people. And if that's what God wants to emphasize, I want to do the same too. So, okay. All right. Because I struggled with this. My mate who's off back to South Africa, you know, great theologian. And I understand where he's coming from. But I don't want to emphasize that. Because we are facing the world that doesn't need to know that a wrathful God, they see enough of it in religion. And sometimes, not just through Christians, but other religions as well. You know, and God isn't full of wrath, he's full of love. It is his very nature. But there is much... Can you just turn the volume down on the far side, please? That's it. There's a much more to salvation than the simple transaction of to say a prayer and you're saved. Okay? That's true. It is about a relationship with a living God. And the hidden beauty of salvation is that it's an invitation to and an ongoing relationship with the creator of the universe. That's what salvation's about. It's about a covenant of love. So what's a covenant? And this was my point I tried to make at my daughter's wedding. That as my daughter and her future husband came together, I said that this is not about a contract. This is about a covenant. Well, people don't understand what a covenant is. Christians don't understand what the covenant is. They tend to use the word, but they don't necessarily understand what it means. And there's a big difference. And we know that we're in this new covenant. The scriptures tell us that. And it says in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah 30, 31. The day is coming, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. And he finishes off that chapter by saying, I will forgive their wickedness and I will never remember their sins again. You know, so this was the promise to Jeremiah, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ came. This promise that he's going to make a new covenant. The whole idea of contract. See, we live in a world that does contract. And in the marriage, I was trying to get this idea that contract isn't what we do. And yet we think contract. What is contract? Well, contract is is an agreement between, and I'm just looking at the Google thing, okay, it says, a contract is an agreement between two or more parties, especially one that is written and enforceable by law. Contracts are based on protection and mistrust. They allow parties involved to look for loopholes and exit clauses, and are centered on your rights and protection. The Bible never mentions contract anywhere. This has no word for contract. It does have for covenant. The term covenant in the Old Testament means to be bonded together. And the whole idea, you know, when you get the wedding ceremony, when two people come together and they sometimes, in some cultures, they bond them together, they tie their hands together. Okay, we do the same with rings. We bond them together, the symbolic act of bonding together. And in the New Testament, it says coming together. That's what the words mean in Hebrew and Greek. A covenant says, I take you for me. A covenant says, I give myself to you. There's a difference, and the emphasis is important. Contract says, you better do it. And a covenant says, how may I serve you? Contract says, what do I get? And the contract says, what can I give? A covenant says, what can I give? A contract says, I'll meet you halfway. And a covenant says, I'll give you 100% plus. Contract says, I have to. And a covenant says, I want to. And when in a marriage contract, a marriage covenant is witnessed by the Creator of God. The Creator, God Himself, the Creator of the whole universe. You know, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. You know, who is a creator of the whole thing. Let's turn that off, I think. Maybe I'll turn it out. And this Creator is described as love Himself. In 1 John 4 it says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And I shall emphasize that God is love means that God isn't just His nature of being love. He is love. And the word means that love actually is God. Okay, love comes from God. God is not by Himself is God, is love. Now, you all know this, I'm sure. But the word for love is agape. Agape in Greek, okay? The Greek language has lots of words for love. Well, it doesn't have many words. That's three, actually. And the New Testament is written in Greek. And the words are eros. Well, you'll know what eros love is. Love is sexual attraction. It's passionate love. It's sensual desire, longing, romantic love. I love the Greek that means, it actually means love without logic. Which is lovely. It's love without logic, you know. Doesn't make any sense, this. love at first sight. Then there's a word, philia. Philia is relational love. It's affectionate. It's mostly to do with friendship. And it's a give and take love. You know, yeah, I love them. I'll give a bit, take a bit, that sort of stuff. And then there's another word which you probably haven't heard in Christian circles called storge. And storge means affection. You don't see it in many old documents. You definitely don't see it in the Bible. But I'll just mention it. Because if I'm going to stand up and say there's two words for Greek, somebody's going to say, no, there's three. And storge is one. And then there's agape. Agape is unconditional love. And the word that God is love is God is agape. God is unconditional love. It's true unconditional love. It means that my love does not depend on your response. My love does not depend on your response. That's what agape means. You know, I don't need you to love me. I don't need you even to like me. I'm just going to love you. That's what it means. It's best seen, I think, personally, when I notice it when I see guys who have children for the first time. And I've had Christians who've tried to understand agape love, but until they actually have a child, they don't actually experience it. Because you just naturally experience agape love. You know, when your three-year-old is stamping up and causing a real fuss in a shop. Maybe you don't love him at that point. No. But there is this time when your child is getting really uptight and upset and annoyed, and it's a little child or whatever, and you feel you sort of hold back and you feel a real love for them, even though they're being silly and stupid and whatever, because they are just two or three. But there's that complete love that you'd give your life for that child. Now that is quite unique, and it's agape. It's understanding what it is. The passage we saw just now. Love is patient, love is kind. And all this is agape. It doesn't envy, it doesn't boast. It is not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love, agape, never fails. That's what our scripture says. And that's where I finished my sermon at my daughter's wedding. And it really went well. It was good. It went well. I thought it went well. But it is about this agape. It is about us being agape to the world. It is about loving without expecting anything back. It is about loving the person who is not nice to you, not kind. And you can only do that when you accept Jesus Christ. Because the God of love, when you accept him, you accept this covenant of love, this agreement with love. And remember, this agreement, this covenant of love starts with God. He made that choice. He made that covenant. He made that choice for us to have that relationship with him. It's available to everyone. Agape is open to all. But you still have to make a choice. You still have to accept his love. We have a part to play in this. The whole world is not going to be saved unless they accept the God of love. That's the difference. It's open, it's a universal love that's open to all. But it's up for people to actually make that choice of accepting that love. The Christian walk is a bit like that. You know, we talked last week about the walking through the desert, through the whole idea of the wilderness, and using that as an analogy to our own lives. You know, that leaving Egypt, applying the blood was the being saved. You know, I'm saved now. Death isn't going to come. You know, I'm going to live forever bit, which Jesus said. You know, you will live forever by accepting him. And the whole journey of leaving Egypt, going across the water, God parting the waters, is like baptism. You know, you symbolically are freed from slavery to life. Except that life has got you aren't at the promised land yet. And the promised land takes a long time to get to. It takes, you know, in the case of the Israelites, 40 years. For us, it takes a lifetime of changing God. And the whole idea of being in the wilderness, this time we are in now, we're not in the wilderness necessarily, but it's the life things that happen to your life that change your life to make you into the person, the people that God wants you to be like him. That's the whole point. And so that was the story that I talked about last week. And it is essential. I'm losing my train now. It is essential that we understand in our life that God loves us, and it's about accepting his love. It's about letting him do the stuff in us. And it is about that. You know, it's this change, this whole thing about God changing us is letting him do it. It's surrender. I said it to somebody recently. There's nobody here, I don't think. And I said, it's about surrendering. It's about each bit of our lives we surrender. Yeah, okay. Oh, you know, I've just been so annoyed and angry and whatever. Hey, I'm going to give it over to you now. I just forgive me, Lord. I want to give it over to you now. And you know, and that progressive change changes us to be the people God wants us to be. God is love. And that's what we're going to emphasize, and that's what we will emphasize. And that the thing is to know that love and to walk in it and to carry it in us through Jesus Christ. Amen.